With your latest news, I'm April Cummings. We'll have today's COVID-19 update in just a moment. But first, more complications for the Cuban migrants on board the MV Bulk Freedom who are refusing to leave the vessel. Overnight, we're told Customs and Border Control Service officers were alerted that the infant on board has a fever. CBC says the officers made numerous offers to take the mother or father and child to the Cayman Islands Hospital for treatment. However, all offers have been refused by the parents. Now, CBC says it continues to provide the migrants with food, drinking water and baby food for the infant, as well as other necessary supplies. In a statement today, CBC reiterated the migrants have been and are being cared for in accordance with local policy, which is compliant with the 1951 Convention on the Treatment of Refugees. CBC also adds that claims by the migrants that they're being mistreated by authorities in Cayman are simply not true. The Cubans went missing and were later spotted in a vessel in distress at sea, where the MV Bulk Freedom picked them up and brought them back to Cayman waters, but they have refused to leave the vessel. They say they do not want to come back to Cayman. Officials say the captain of the MV Bulk Freedom has indicated that he's unwilling to transport the migrants to any other port, as the, quote, vessel structure and equipment cannot facilitate this number of persons on board in terms of health and hygiene. They say the captain has also advised that the vessel's safety equipment and manning does not allow more than 25 persons on board, and he is, as such, adamant they must disembark in Cayman. CBC says the assisting agencies, RCIPS, the Cayman Islands Coast Guard, and themselves are all working together actively to resolve the issue as soon as possible. Chief Medical Officer Dr. John Lee today reporting 315 COVID-19 tests carried out since our last report on Wednesday. There were two positives, both travelers who tested positive as part of the routine screening program. And as is protocol, they will remain in isolation until considered recovered. Updating the COVID-19 vaccination program now, the total number of vaccines administered to date, 54,884. So far, 31,459, that's 48% of the estimated population of 65,000, has received at least one dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, with 36% having completed the two-dose course. At last count, the proportions of those in each age bracket under 60 who have had at least one dose, 28% are those between the ages of 16 and 30, 41% of those aged 30 to 40, 49% of those aged 40 to 50, and 71% of those aged 50 to 60. More now on the vaccination process. Here now is CIGTV's Donna Bush.
The COVID-19 vaccination clinic at the Owen Roberts International Airport will be offering dose 1 and 2 vaccines to all persons 16 years and over, regardless of surname. Now, photo ID showing your date of birth is still required. However, persons no longer need to provide identification to demonstrate they're an ordinarily and legally resident person on island. Operational hours at the airport's COVID-19 vaccine clinic have also been extended to better accommodate the public's varying work schedules.
The expansion of hours at the clinic will allow better access to the vaccine. If you are unsure about getting the vaccine or have questions, I encourage you to speak to public health nurse, your doctor, or contact the HSA flu hotline. We are here to help you make informed decisions about the vaccine and dispel misconceptions.
Now, you may check the schedule at the HSA's website, which is hsa.ky, for new clinic hours.
CIGTV's Donna Bush there, along with public health nurse manager Joanna Rose Bright. The Department of Environment assures the community that shore fishing is still allowed along areas of Cayman's coast. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more.
The Department of Environment says they have been approached by members of the public who have concerns about whether a recent rule change outlawed fishing from the shore anywhere in the Cayman Islands. The Ministry of Parks and Environment ensures the community that the enhanced marine park regulations recently approved by Cabinet, among other areas, have set out designated lined fishing zones. There are also many areas of coastline around all three Cayman Islands that don't fall within a marine park system, and they are open zones where any kind of fishing is allowed. However, the 8-inch size limit for fish still applies in these open zones, as well as other general species protections, such as limits on Konkan lobster and the fact that it's illegal to kill sharks or stingrays. The regulations allow fishing in over half of Cayman's nearshore waters, from the shore to up to 150 foot deep. And some lined fishing zones within the enhanced marine park systems have even been combined with no diving overlay zones. This approach was developed as a means of preserving fishing access in those areas while balancing user demand on the limited and fragile marine resources of the Cayman Islands. While the marine reserve zones do not allow shoreline fishing, the marine park system was designed with alternating marine reserve and open fishing zones. This will allow fish to build up and then move out from the marine reserves into the adjoining zones where people can fish as a means of promoting sustainable fisheries in the Cayman Islands. Reporting from Radio Cayman News, I'm Carsley Fuller.
The maps and rules of the marine parks are available for download from the Department of Environment website at doe.ky. On Sunday, April 4th, police and other emergency services were dispatched to two search and rescue incidents. Radio Cayman's Dion Englin has the details.
Just before 3 p.m., the Air Operations Unit responded to a report of a kayak occupied by two men that had drifted out at sea and capsized. The police helicopter located the men, who appeared to be struggling to regain to control the kayak due to the weather conditions. A call for assistance was made and a civilian vessel attended the location. The men were brought to shore by the member of public, where they were received by officers at the Frank Sound Dock. Neither of the men reported injuries. Then, just after 3:45 p.m., the Air Operations Unit responded to a report of a vessel with five occupants that was experiencing difficulties at sea off North Church Street and required assistance getting back to shore. The police helicopter located the vessel, which was then assisted by the Cayman Islands Fire Service Rescue Team and the Cayman Islands Coast Guard. The vessel was towed ashore along with its occupants, and there were no reports of injuries. The RCIPS would like to thank the members of the public and partnering agencies who assisted in these rescues and would like to encourage the public to be mindful of the weather conditions when planning water sports activities, especially when warnings have been issued. Reporting for Radio Cayman News, I'm Dion Anglin.
The RCIPS launches a recruitment drive.
We're looking for Caymanians first and foremost, young Caymanians in particular. However, the age range is between 18 and 40 years old to start training with us.
On Radio Cayman's Business Buzz today, PC Jodi-Ann Powery says integrity is a critical requirement for the job.
It is absolutely important for us to be an example of what a lawful citizen is supposed to be like, because the question would then be asked, well, how are you policing if you're out here breaking the law as well? And so that is also something to consider. As a police officer, whether you're on duty or not, you're always going to be in the spotlight.
Other requirements, three basic CXC subjects, math, English, and any other subject, a high school diploma or equivalent. The full details are available at rcips.ky, and the deadline is April 30th to submit your application. Cayman could soon see its first Institute of Fire Engineers branch. Radio Cayman's Shanda Gallego has more.
15 probationary fire officers received their certificates after passing exams with the Institute of Fire Engineering, IFE. Chief Fire Officer Paul Walker explains the officers are currently doing around 6,000 examinations a year around the world.
It provides Cayman Islands Fire Service as corporate members with a professional framework so that our firefighters, our pump engineers, our sub-officers, station managers, divisional managers, and deputy chiefs and chief fire officers can all have internationally recognized qualifications, which helps us professionalize the fire and rescue service.
Fire Chief says there are real ambitions within the fire service. For one, to open a Cayman Islands IFE branch, which would be the first, and join the network of branches around the world.
Really, the Institute of Fire Engineers goes further than just fire and rescue personnel. Fire engineering and fire science attracts a number of partners from forensic investigation to design to architecture to building safety to a wider multi-agency response to incidents.
By setting up a branch, Fire Chief Walker says there is a small institution that can discuss the professional framework for fire and rescue and put on events that attract continued professional development.
So it's about expanding that network. So it's not just the fire and rescue service, to other industry professionals and partners and anyone who's interested in fire engineering, fire science, fire safety across the Cayman Islands. Please get in touch and help us establish what will be a new Cayman Islands Institute of Fire Engineer branch.
Mr. Walker says the hope is to have an inauguration ceremony for an IFE branch later this year. In addition to the first group of 15 officers to pass the IFE exam, another group of 23 officers recently sat the exam. These officers are all amongst the first to sit the exam here in the Cayman Islands. Shanda Gallego, Radio Cayman News.
That is your latest local news from Radio Cayman's newsroom. I'm April Cummings.